Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're here until 5 a.m. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We're also going to talk about snubs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right, it is Monday. That means the Monday morning movie reviews shall commence. Jim Laskowski, Eric Childress join me every Monday to review the new movies, and then Eric sticks around and we talk about the box office. Lots of box office to talk about here. It was a pretty busy, weekend in terms of box office, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's welcome the guys here to the show. Here's Eric. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Jim. Jim, welcome.
Thank you again, Nick.
All right. So you guys, Eric, you guys made some announcements considering with the Chicago Critics Film Festival this week?
Yes, we did.
All right. Let's tell everybody all the latest. What's going on?
Well, the entire schedule and lineup is up. If you go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com, you can see the entire schedule and everything that we have announced for this year's festival taking place May 17th to the 23rd. We have made some previous announcements here on the show as well, and so people know that we are doing a 40th anniversary screening of Alien as part of our sort of our gift back to the audience for coming and seeing all these brand new films. We give them a classic film. What we did not announce prior is that we're going to have Tom Skerritt there.
Yeah.
Tom Skerritt is going to be there Saturday night, May 18th, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Music Box to present and do a Q&A after a 35mm presentation of Alien.
That's amazing. That really is awesome. That really is awesome.
Yeah, this. I mean, we were trying to make a big event out of this when we first conceived it, and Tom just got back to us right away and said, "I'm clearing the schedule."
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah, it's pretty terrific.
Yeah, that's pretty great. All right. So, what else? What else did you guys announce besides the fact that Tom Skerritt's going to be there?
Yeah, well, we're going to have special guests there every night. The Nightingale on Sunday night, the night of the Game of Thrones finale. We're going to be showing Jennifer Kent's new film, The Nightingale. But we're going to have the star of The Nightingale there, Aislinn Franciosi, who actually is on a couple episodes of Game of Thrones and actually plays a pretty important part. So you could sit at home and watch the finale, or you could come see a really great movie and see someone who's in your favorite television show that evening.
All right.
I recommend do that because you could always DVR Game of Thrones and watch it later that night.
Yeah, okay.
Like all of us are going to be doing at the festival.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm fine.
Yeah, you're good. No, you're good. You're good. You and like four other people, you're fine.
Right.
But so that's going to be Sunday night.
I don't know if that's not the finale, because I will be concerned because if that's the finale of Barry.
I'm a little behind on Barry right now. I hear it's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I the HBO screwed up like the second week and threw all the times off, so it didn't tape it.
Mm.
So I haven't gone back to watch that episode that I never had taped. So
okay.
Yeah, but it might be the finale. But you could just DVR.
No,
that
I haven't watched last night's episode. I'm not going to watch it when I get home in the morning.
There you go.
That's what I do Monday morning. So
okay.
Yeah.
One event that I'm really excited about because it's kind of like a 3-year journey to actually make this happen. On Tuesday night, May 21st, we're showing a movie that we talked about from South by Southwest called Pink Wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Tom Cullen from the movie Weekend, and the stars of the movie are Tatiana Maslany and Jay Duplass. We're going to have all three of them there.
That's awesome.
Tuesday night. Yes, Orphan Black is coming to town.
That's awesome.
And we played a movie in 2016 called The Other Half with Tatiana Maslany and Tom Cullen. They were the stars of the movie, and we were so trying to get them to come, and just schedules didn't quite work out because they were all filming other things, and their schedules didn't allow it. Well, 3 years later, we got to make it happen, and so they're going to be there Tuesday night to do a whole Q&A after the film. So I'm really excited about that.
That's very, very cool. All right.
Yep.
And you got some other other special guests. Jim Gaffigan is going to be there?
Jim Gaffigan is going to be there closing night. This movie, Light from Light, this kind of ghost story film that really kind of blew us all away. We're ending the festival again with another ghost story. This one certainly very. Jim Gaffigan is the co-star, one of the stars of the film, but this is not a comedy. Jim Gaffigan is a terrific comedian. He's in a couple movies that we're showing at the festival, but this one that we're closing with, we're just so happy that it's a part of the festival. And Gaffigan and the director, Paul Harrell, will be there closing night.
Very
so
cool.
Chicago, Elgin native Jim Gaffigan is going to be there closing night.
Yeah. All right. That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's really great. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Opening night is going to be just kind of an awesome night. We're opening another film that we saw at South by Southwest called St. Francis. It's an entirely local production. I was told that everyone except like two people on the entire production are actually from Chicago or the surrounding areas. So that's going to be kind of a really special event for them, and it's a really, really sweet story. The star and the screenwriter, Kelly O'Sullivan, and the director, Alex Thompson, are going to be there, as well as I assume probably the entire production is going to show up for that opening night. Then we're also showing A Greener Grass, which is an extension of a short film that we played at the festival several years ago, and the stars of that film, Jocelyn DeBoer, this is going to be like her fourth time at the festival, actually. She was there for two shorts before, and she was also in Dead Snow 2. She was there for that. So this is like her fourth time at the festival. Her and Don Luby, her partner in the film, are going to be there. And then at midnight, Nick, there's a movie called The Perfection with Allison Williams.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you are going to lose your mind this movie.
Is that right?
Oh, this movie, we're so happy to get this movie, and we're going to be playing it. We're playing it twice, but we're going to play it midnight on Friday, May 17th, and the entire opening night is dedicated to women, because every single film stars women across the board. So we're really kind of proud for opening night, and that's going to be a real special one.
Okay. All right. So that's The Perfection, which is at midnight
mm-hmm.
on that. Okay. And the full schedule and all the tickets are available, correct now?
Yeah. Individual tickets for all the films are available right now. Passes are still available for just $150. You can see be part of the entire festival. You have carte blanche to basically come in and out as you please. So I highly recommend that, because you're not going to find a better deal anywhere. But like I said, we've only kind of scratched the surface of some of the guests. We have 22 guests coming to the festival this year, including Colin's short programs and other guests throughout the week. Just look at the lineup, because it's going to be pretty amazing. And we're actually going to be having Saturday night after Alien, we're actually going to be having the Chicago premiere of Danny Boyle's new film Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be part of it. So we're going to scare the crap out of everyone with Alien, and then we're going to lighten the mood a little bit with Yesterday.
Well, I mean, the trailer for Yesterday, I don't know, I think it looks great. I think the concept is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one guy who knows who the Beatles are,
right?
And then he becomes like famous because he's playing Beatles songs.
Exactly.
I think the concept is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, it sounds great, man. Congratulations on all the really cool guests and everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody's going to ask Tom Skerritt about Top Gun. I know that'll be.
Or Poltergeist 3, if it's somewhere in Chicago.
Hey, I happen to like Poltergeist 3.
Yeah. You're kidding me.
No, I do. I think Poltergeist 3 is a good
I
movie.
I liked it.
Oh, wait.
I liked
two,
it
wait,
too.
Two of you like Poltergeist 3?
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong show. Okay.
I actually, I'll tell you what. I actually like it the most of any Poltergeist movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because I don't like the first one very much. The second one's unwatchable.
I wouldn't go that far.
Jim, come bring it back a little bit.
Yeah. I like it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Well, congratulations on all that. Everybody can go
Thank
to
you.
ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com is at the Music Box Theater starting on May 17th through that week. All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we got a couple of movies that we're going to review here. So that's Eric Childress and Jim Laskowski. We'll take a break for the news. When we come back, we'll jump right into the to the new movies to review right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. on a Monday morning here. We're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and some of their snubs. Yesterday was the day that Craig Ferguson announced that he was leaving his late-night talk show, and so we're going to go back and look at that, why that was like one of the greatest TV shows of all time and why Craig Ferguson was like one of the best hosts in the history of the medium. We'll remember that too. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. But right now, we've got movies to review. Eric Childress, Jim Laskowski join me every Monday morning to review the new movies. Let's bring him back. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Jim, welcome back.
Thank you again.
All right, Eric, tell us about Family.
Okay, this is a film that premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in 2018. I think we might have talked about it a little bit then. It stars Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black as a female executive who is not exactly the most pleasant person to be around. She really just kind of hates everyone. She's completely selfish and never minces words in company of anyone. She can just be as offensive and politically incorrect as possible to get her point across. But her family, though she tries to avoid them, are coming to her in a bit of desperation. It seems that her in-law's mother is dying, so as they go, as they want to go visit her, they ask her if she will take care or watch their 11-year-old daughter. And she's reluctant to do this. She's not exactly happy with the task of doing this and hardly makes the best den mother around. But the girl kind of has her own issues. She's very withdrawn. Her parents are very demanding. At one point, they take her to a karate class instead of ballet class that is run by Brian Tyree Henry, who has some wonderful stuff in the movie. But the 11-year-old girl throughout the course of the film ends up with people that have a interest in juggalos. Yes, this is a movie where juggalos actually become a very big plot point throughout the film. And what you have here, familiar kind of story. It's almost kind of Uncle Buck in a way, just with the female. This movie is actually really quite funny at times. The stuff that Taylor Schilling, her dialogue when she's the mean version of herself, which is a good portion of the film, is actually quite hilarious. Her exchanges, Kate McKinnon plays her neighbor in the film. Their exchanges are really funny. Like I said, Brian Tyree Henry, only has a few scenes in the movie, but his reaction to the whole juggalo scene is it's a priceless moment in and of itself. This is not a movie that you haven't seen before in some respect. It's just a little kind of ruder than some of those films that kind of put a touchy-feely face on things. It's R-rated for a reason, but I had a really good time with it, and I laughed quite a bit, so I'm recommending it.
Okay. You had me at Kate McKinnon, so that's a great cast. I mean, it really is. Okay, and it's playing at three theaters. It's playing at the River East, it's playing in Rosemont, and another theater, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's out right now, and that's called Family. Okay. All right. Jim, tell us about Under the Silver Lake.
All right. Well, after delays and festival premieres and kind of a divisive response from those who did get to see it, we finally get the latest film here from David Robert Mitchell. And if you don't know the name, well, I think you'll recognize the last film he gave us, which is the incredible horror film It Follows, which is why this follow-up was a priority for me. And we are introduced to a slacker named Sam, played by Andrew Garfield, who is kind of this unemployed Lebowski type living in the hipster Silver Lake neighborhood of Los Angeles. He doesn't really do a whole lot besides hook up and smoke pot and leisurely stare at his neighbors, and of course has trouble paying rent, among other things. But he's also following the news of a famous local millionaire gone missing, and just kind of going through the motions. Then one night he has a rather interesting brief encounter with another neighbor, Sarah, played by Riley Keough, and they seem to hit it off quite well. But the very next day, Sarah has disappeared without a trace, having moved out of her apartment overnight, disconnecting all contact, and just seemingly dropped off the face of the earth. No social media presence at all, just gone. So Sam makes it this mission to discover where she is and why she went away, turning this neo-noir into kind of this conspiracy mystery of sorts. There are other oddities throughout that are introduced, including Topher Grace as Sam's drinking buddy, an elderly songwriter who claims that he's responsible for all the hidden messages in pop music. There's a comic nerd and conspiracy theorist, as well as some mysterious creature that that happens to have the face of an owl or something. Yeah. So, well, This is a messy movie, and I'm the first to admit that, but it's also a puzzle, and I can understand people finding this a very frustrating puzzle, whereas I found it very intriguing. It's kind of Mitchell's take on the neo-noir, like I said, but he's also kind of poking fun of certain tropes within the genre in a way. It's like this is kind of a weirder version of something like Inherent Vice. But I was also reminded of, like, the work of Richard Kelly, and almost to the point where I was like, well, what if Richard Kelly directed Body Double? This is kind of what it would be like. So I do think it's, you know, a flawed film, but it's kind of about the male gaze and how gross and creepy it can be in this context, especially since Sam is kind of drawn to certain women in a way that is uncomfortable at times, I think. And a lot of random character actors show up. There's this unusual dance number involving acid and REM. So there's just a lot of detours and dark comedy, and I was constantly unsure about where this film was going, but it raised a lot of interesting questions, like, are all conspiracy theories kind of stupid in a way? Are we overanalyzing pop culture to fill some kind of void in our lives? I think it's interesting and worth seeing. It's self-indulgent at times, but I think in a good way. So I'm kind of highly recommending this movie, and it's out on VOD, so people should check it out.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I
thought it was great, and it is wholly original. And it's really, I've been sort of ensconced in Hitchcock lately because of my film club. I just showed The Man Who Knew Too Much. We're showing North by Northwest next Tuesday, and this reminded me of it was like watching Hitchcock after smoking, four bong hits. It's kind of like the way it plays, and it plays that way throughout the entire time. I thought Garfield was great. I was intrigued by the whole thing. I thought it was very funny. I know it's very long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long, but it didn't feel long to me.
Yeah.
And I was intrigued by it. It's a hard film to describe.
For sure.
And it's also kind of, you could understand why somebody would hate this movie. There's no question about it. While I was watching it, I was like, okay, I can understand. Now, Eric, this played at some festivals, right? And it got a, and it that you went
it played
to, right?
Con.
It's like Cannes last year, and it just it's one of the more baffling things that A24 has done, because they specialize in these, yeah. all different types of independent cinema, and it just seems odd that they decided that this one was too strange for audiences. I don't quite understand that. I know that it's divisive, but they're treating it like it was Southland Tales. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I know a lot of people that really like it. So it seems odd.
It's an odd movie. It very is a strange film, and it's not for everybody. I would be the first to say that, but I was intrigued and entertained by every second of it, and I really loved it, and I loved all the cast. I loved everybody in the cast. I followed along, really. I was intrigued by everything, and led by a terrific performance by Garfield. He's really, really great. I mean, he's a terrific actor, Andrew Garfield. He's just great, and he's great in everything, and he's really terrific in this. And it's just a very strange, weird movie. But I was on board 100%. So I really thought it was terrific. That's Under the Silver Lake. Again, it's a strange one, but I think worth seeing. So, all right, guys, hang on, okay?
For sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric and Jim are going to hang on. There was this little, small, low-budget independent movie that we have to talk about next that came out over the weekend and did okay at the box office. And we'll talk about that after we break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. Because it's a jokey time, we're going to talk about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, notable snubs, and lots more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Eric and Jim are here. We're reviewing the new movies. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Jim, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, Eric, tell us about this little movie called Avengers Endgame.
All right. Well, this is it. This is the one, the film that everyone in the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been waiting for. Everything has been building up to this. And I'm not going to reveal too much about the plot, because I think actually one of the great things about what they've done with this film is actually reveal as little as possible in the marketing. But if you're people who are fans and followed this and heard his review of Avengers Infinity War last year, people know that things did not turn out great for a lot of our heroes at the end of that film. It ended on a cliffhanger, kind of unlike we've ever seen before, and this movie picks up some days after the events of the last film, as all the remaining heroes gather together to try to figure out how to bring everyone back and defeat the terror that is Thanos. And that's kind of all I want to reveal about the plot. Like I said, there are things in this movie that the plot, even itself, seems to be full of surprises. I just have to say off the bat that it borrows heavily from a film that, or film series at least, that I won't mince words, is one of my favorite film series of all time, and is even frequently referenced throughout the film, because maybe I won't reveal a little bit, but the heroes figure out a way to actually, shall we say, take a tour through the other films that we have been witness to over these past 11 years. They have to regather the Infinity Stones that Thanos had achieved finally in the last movie, and they have to regather them, and that causes them to go back into events from previous films in order to do that. I walked into this movie, as I've been telling people, because I was not a big fan of Infinity War. I thought the film was too overstuffed. It was bringing all of these heroes and characters together that we've been getting standalone movies for and sequels for the last 11 years, and it felt overstuffed to me. Some of the stakes, although very, you know, very important to them, didn't feel as real to me. I wasn't a big fan of the final battles in the film. I watched it again in preparation for this, and I appreciated certain aspects of it a little bit more, but still kind of felt the same. But so I walked into this one, as I've been telling people, more curious than excited. By the time it was all over, I was ridiculously excited and wanting to tell everyone I possibly could to see this movie, because this film, and what was the result of the last 11 years, is almost, you know, it's a little tiny miracle that, you know, we've seen trilogies, we've seen film series over the years, we've seen film series that try to go back on themselves and try to, you know, to re-piece themselves together. This is the culmination of a project that seems like they had a Doc Brown timeline on their, you know, their sandwich board, basically, and, or, you know, their murder board, as it's called in politics, and figuring out exactly where all these characters are going to intersect, how we're going to pay off certain details about their personal lives. And there are things in Endgame that get paid off that you, in a million years, you would never have had me guess were going to get paid off. Just the things that I didn't think they were past, they were not going to bring up really again, and they get sincere closure in this movie, particularly in results to parental units throughout the film. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans doing spectacular work in this film. I think Karen Gillan is kind of the unsung hero of this movie. Nebula is a big part of this film. And I think she may arguably give the best performance in the film. It's really nice that Paul Rudd's Ant-Man is not just a amped up for comic relief, but is a really kind of a crucial part of, you know, why, you know, how they're going to solve this problem. Like I said, there are surprises abound in this story. It is a cameo machine, unlike, you know, since Robert Altman's The Player, practically, in this film. It's exciting, it's emotional. People have been talking about, you know, when am I gonna go pee, it's 3 hours long, as if we haven't been seeing, you know, 2.5 hour blockbusters over the last 10 years. It's kind of a ridiculous statement, but for those who are worried, this is one of the fastest moving 3 hour films I've ever sat through. It didn't feel like it lagged at any point. I was completely invested in the entire story, and as the culmination of a universe that has had highs, had some lows, had some rocky patches in between, this is, you know, I think it's beyond fan service. I think it's almost cynical and wrong to say this movie is nothing but fan service, because, like you said, it pays off things. It's true to its characters, it's true to its story, and it has completed an arc that has taken 11 years to build, and I think that they've done a masterful job with it.
Okay. All right. Jim, what did you think?
Well, let's just say I really like this movie quite a bit. I'm not in the love category necessarily, but I mean, it goes to, you know, it's one of those experiences where you have to go to your theater and experience this movie, especially if you do have a lot of emotional investment in this franchise, which, you know, I'm not the biggest comic book movie guy. And, you know, there have, as Eric said, there have definitely been some ups and downs throughout the entire Marvel universe. And there are certainly ones that I did enjoy immensely, including the first Avengers movie and last year's Into the Spider-Verse. And I didn't mind Infinity War, though, you know, yeah, it does have a lot of crazy CGI battle sequences that sometimes I find numbing more than exciting. But here, you know, I really love the first hour of this movie. I mean, it's more about the character moments and the humor and the sense of camaraderie. And, you know, that experience in of itself for me was very satisfying. I was a little worried at the outset because I think they could have reintroduced a particular character's shock, I guess you could say, in a way that maybe would have had more dramatic weight to it. It was just an interesting, unexpected way to open a film. But once Ant-Man comes onto the scene, it becomes a joy, and it's like a comic book version of one of my favorite HBO shows, The Leftovers, which, you know, I did have a lot of emotional investment in, but, you know, and also we sort of danced around a little bit of the movie that Eric is referencing, but I will say that it gets much better treatment here than it did in Happy Death Day to You earlier this year. But, you know, what kind of let me down just a little bit, but not a lot, is just it kind of culminates into a showdown that, you know, to me was not unlike the one in Infinity War. It was just, okay, I kind of expected, I kind of knew where this was going to go, but this is really well executed all around. I mean, it does pay off, you know, every little thing from the franchise in a very satisfying way. I mean, I would come down on the side of being a little nitpicky about certain details that I can't really, you know, reveal just because it's spoiler territory. And, you know, at the same time, I can't deny the fact that I had a great time. It moves by at a lightning speed. So yes, this doesn't feel like 3 hours, so people shouldn't worry about those things. I mean, it's worth the investment, and if you've been invested this whole entire time, you are going to have a great time. And it's a very good example of all these strong elements coming together. It's a love letter to the fans. It's worth commending for not being a letdown, because, you know, it seemed like it could go that route, but it doesn't quite reach the heights of something like Spider-Man 2 or Into the Spider-Verse for me personally, but it's absolutely well worth seeing. I'm highly recommending it, and you've probably all have seen it twice already.
All right, well, you guys hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you. I'll tell you what I thought of it when we come back. We'll take a little break. I'll tell you what I thought of Avengers Endgame, and then we're going to talk about the box office numbers, which were huge. And we'll talk about that with Eric. That's all coming up. So we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this on 720 WGN.
You can see all the stars as you walk along Hollywood.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is a Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. And we got lots more to talk about. We're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs. And we are also going to talk about we're going to look back at the great Craig Ferguson, the Late Late Show. He announced yesterday on this date, he announced when he would be leaving the show. And late night was never the same after that. So we're going to talk about that. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we are in the middle of the movie reviews. Before the break, we had Eric and Jim give their thoughts on Avengers Endgame. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Jim, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So I thought it was pretty great. I'm not, you know, like the biggest comic book guy. I'm not... You know, I did not jump into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, head first, you know, into the deep end or anything like that. I like the movies. There are some that I like more than others, and you know, some that I love, some that I don't like very much. But overall, it's been an entertaining, you know, 11 years following these characters. I do think that they do an incredible job wrapping everything up. And like you guys both said, for me, it flew by. It didn't feel like 3 hours at all. And it was fun to watch this movie. We saw it, my folks and I saw it in the IMAX and the 3D. And the place was complete. Obviously, to say it wasn't packed, I mean, the place was completely packed. There wasn't an empty seat in the place, and everybody was very enthusiastic. It was really, I got to say, it was really a lot of fun to watch it with such an excited audience. I mean, there was lots of applause. You know, at certain points in the movie, there were people just, you know, they would just break out in applause and whooping and all that kind of stuff. Lots of cheering. So in that regard, it was really a lot of fun to be in a room full of people who were clearly big fans of these movies and were having a fantastic time and were feeling really great. And it was fun. And it was that you know, that's really a lot. That's really part of the reason why people go to these movies, is to have that kind of experience. It's a really well made movie. Again, like we said, it's paced very well. The acting is, you know, the acting has always been a pretty strong part of these movies, especially when you got guys like you know, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, the cast is just great, and they're all really they all get a chance to shine. I was really, really pleased at how much Renner got to do in this movie, because, you know, like, Hawkeye's always been kind of like a character who's like, nobody really, everybody makes fun of him, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And he really rocks in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's terrific in it. I mean, a lot of it centers around him. You know, there's a lot of Renner in this movie, and if you happen to be a Jeremy Renner fan, and I happen to be a massive Jeremy Renner fan, I also love the fact that, like, everybody from the Hurt Locker's in this movie. I mean, everybody. It's like almost the entire cast of Hurt Locker is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I like that. A lot of it was very exciting. The special effects are great. I mean, the big battle sequences at the end are spectacular. They're beautifully done, really well paced. And like I said, the audience went nuts during the last, like, 15, 20 minutes of the movie. The place was up for grabs.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. It's really, and there's a huge emotional payoff at the end of this movie, a big one.
Yeah.
And lots of surprises, and, you know, lots of people popping up and characters popping up, and, you know, an actress and actresses from the past movies actually showing up, even with no dialogue. You know what I mean? Like there's some big names in this movie that don't speak, so it all pays off. I also found, you know, like a lot of these great, the Marvel movies are the best ones, are the ones that also have that some big laughs. And I gotta say, you know, the first two Thor movies are not good. I don't like either of the first two Thor movies, but he's like my favorite character in this movie. What they did to Thor in this movie,
yeah.
I was laughing my head off every time he showed up. It was hilarious. And that, one of my favorite Facebook quotes that was on my news feed was just like some regular guy says that, he says, "I would like to thank Avengers Endgame because now I can finally cosplay Thor."
And the thing that I like so much about that particular part of the storyline,
yeah,
is that there is no redemption in a way.
It's like
we're gonna play this ball for laughs, and then he's gonna be back to Thor,
right,
in like
no.
the next scene.
Exactly. That's one of the things I love. I thought for sure we were gonna see some sort of like training montage or something,
right.
And that
right.
never happens.
Yeah,
and
nope.
I was like, that's fake. It doesn't even trim his beard. It's just
yeah.
it's hilarious. And you know, I mean, the core of this whole thing is Robert Downey Jr., you know,
yeah.
I mean, he really is. And they know that, you know what I mean? The people that made
mm-hmm.
these movies know that he's the reason why, you know, the success of these movies has really happened, that he's really the core.
Started with him.
It did. Absolutely.
You know?
And they
yeah.
do a wonderful job, acknowledging that in the movie. I mean, you know, obviously we could give this movie any kind of review. Everybody, you know, went to see it.
Right.
Everybody's going to still see it. So it's like, it's one of those movies that is critic proof.
Sure.
But I really liked it. I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And it flew by, and there was a good emotional payoff at the end. The audience that I saw it with went nuts. I mean, they truly
yeah.
had a fantastic time. And it was, you know, I saw it in the biggest screen possible in 3D, and that was a blast. And it was everything that a big budget adventure movie should be, and more. And it's a huge payoff. It's a great way to end the series. It really is. And I think, I mean, you know, everybody I know, you know, loved it. I think it's much better. I liked Infinity War, but I think this is a better film than Infinity War, a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are, you know, big laughs and big excitement and surprises and cameos, and it's just everything that you could want. You know, it's a buildup of 11 years, and it pays off. So
yeah.
I really liked it a lot, and I think the fans are, the fans already have spoken. You know,
oh, and, God, yes,
yeah, and you know, this is just great. It's a great way to end the series, and I really had a great time with it. So, all right, what do we got next week?
Well, Long Shot. Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen opens.
Right, and then that movie, that movie where Dennis Quaid is terrorizing people.
Yeah, Reverse Cold Creek Manor, as I call it.
Yeah, that's what's really funny is that he's got that cute dog movie coming out in a couple, talking dog movie coming out in a couple of weeks too.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta, because I love Dennis Quaid. And I'm curious about this intruder movie just because it's Dennis Quaid. If it was somebody else, I probably wouldn't care.
Right.
But I happen to love Dennis Quaid, and I want to see him play a nut. You know that? I'm all about that. So
why not?
Yeah. All right. So that's next week. Okay, Jim. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Talk to you next week. All right. There's Jim. All right, Eric. Let's do some box office.
Yeah.
Hey, you said, didn't you, last week, didn't you say 350 million?
I didn't go 350.
No.
I did say over 300. But I don't think you can find anyone on the planet that said 350. I did say over 300 without question.
Yeah. Well, $350 million.
Yeah.
Across the globe, how much has it made already?
$1.2 billion.
$1.2 billion.
That's basically in like 5 days. It opened a couple days earlier overseas.
Yeah.
So in like 5 days, $1.2 billion.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
That is
almost halfway to Avatar.
Isn't that? I mean, that's just unbelievable. That is just really unbelievable. And I love the fact that Captain Marvel came in second. I don't know.
That's almost the story of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That. Captain Marvel, which last week saw a bump because everyone was getting prepared for Endgame, and then it jumped up to number 2 this week. It dropped 11%. It's the 10th highest 8th weekend of all time. It's a crazy thing. It's like, oh shoot! And I wonder if people who went and saw Captain Marvel then went and saw Endgame, just like, well, I didn't really need to do that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Captain Marvel in Endgame.
No, there isn't. It's good. It's quality. When she's in it, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's crazy. The top two movies in the country are Marvel and the kind of money that they the numbers can't sustain, right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm actually doing like a whole analysis for Rotten Tomatoes tomorrow. Like all the records that it could break along the way, and I was coming up with some really odd ones as well.
Yeah.
The biggest second weekend of all time. I mean, pretty much all of these records going forward now are The Force Awakens, because that's the highest grossing film of all time.
Right.
So the second weekend, Force Awakens made $149 million. So that means that Endgame would have to drop more than 57.4% in a second weekend. Now, we've never seen a number like 350 before.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah.
So who knows what that number is going to be next week. Is it so front-loaded that people have already seen it? Are people going to be seeing it for the 6th, 7th time next week? Next week is going to be going to help pad the way, but I was looking at the schedule, and I think it's conceivable that the film stays on top of the box office for 4 straight weeks, you know, unless Detective Pikachu is really a thing, and that's going to bump it up. I still don't understand this whole thing, but then it could drop out of the top 5 by like week 8. And then, you know, we'll see, you know, where it goes from there. But it's got nothing but records to break in front of it right now. And the next, at least by the next week or two, it's going to break a bunch of them just because of this head start that it's gotten. So it's going to be interesting. If people are fascinated with numbers or have a real investment and want to see these movies do well, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So $350 million, Captain Marvel with $8 million. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Eric. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
There you go. Eric Childress. And remember, go to Chicago Critics Film Festival.com because the Chicago Critics Film Fest is happening in May and you can get your tickets now. Great schedule, lots of really great guests and all kinds of cool stuff. So, all right, we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN.